Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think it's obvious to everyone that the cold I have had last week, I still have this week. It is a terrible, terrible cold. And one of my New Year's resolutions is to track down the person who gave it to me, plant a big kiss on their lips and give it back. No, I'm not going to do that. But it is a terrible one, so I won't be shaking hands today. It wouldn't be a good thing. Now, in these first few days of the new year, many of us are, you know, we're trying to begin again, to start over with a new resoluteness and with new named resolutions to do better, to do more, to be more disciplined or maybe more generous or more forgiving or more in tune with nature and God's good earth. Or to take walks every afternoon or to do push-ups or sit-ups every day or to say I love you to the people you love and need to tell. But what pressure that is. What pressure that is if you are among those who have made these resolutions. We've just made it through Christmas. We don't even have the energy to get back up to normal. I don't. And here we are promising ourselves and maybe to God and spouses and family that we're somehow going to find more energy and more resources to do more. Do more? We barely made it out of last year. I can't personally really deal with the new year yet. And I'm not done with Christmas. The Christmas story, one more time for this year, from the Gospel of John. The Word, and notice in the Pew Bibles, the Word is capital W. That's something worth hitting the commentaries about. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. It took on human form and lived among us, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the incarnate Word. He is the Word made flesh. He is God made flesh. Let that sink in. I don't know of any other faiths, and I have studied many other faiths, who make the claim that their God became flesh. You know, Orthodox Judaism finds this idea blasphemous. Seven centuries after the birth of Christ, came Muhammad in the Quran, and it's stated in the Quran that this is an outrageous idea and is not true. Other faiths cannot comprehend what we just say and sing about and don't feel the weight of. The Creator God became flesh and dwelt among us. He's the one, Jesus is the one who embodied the love of God in human form. Also the human form of God's forgiveness, the human form of God's mercy. He's the human form of God's justice, of God's truth. It is a sort of Christmas story in God beginning again, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. God, so that He could help us, decided to walk among us and to live among us as one of us, born of human, of a young woman, nurtured at a human breast and working at human task and dying a real death. God among us. God made flesh. God for us in Jesus Christ. What is remarkable about the Christmas story is not just that God chose to place all His glory and all His beauty and all His truth in human form. That's remarkable enough, but that He chose such a simple human being in which to take on flesh. God's Word, God's eternal Word, that was at the beginning of all things and without which nothing that was made could be made, came not upon a royal prince or a king, no. Not upon the form of a philosopher, wise and full of truth and living in an imperial palace, no. God's Word, the Word made flesh, came as a simple Word and a simple human being, born to a simple peasant woman and cared for by a simple carpenter in a land that time still seems to have forgotten. The Word made flesh. is found in its fullness in a babe who had to lie in a feeding trough because there was no room for him in the inn. The Word made flesh is found in all its fullness in a child who, while obedient to his parents, still argued with his teachers and got lost in Jerusalem at age 12. The Word made flesh is found in all its fullness in a young man who wandered the countryside, teaching the teachers and healing the sick and eating with sinners and forgiving those who needed forgiving. Jesus was the Word of God in all its fullness, and yet consider it was a Word that had no home to call its own. It was a Word that was denied and betrayed and finally killed, in the hope that it would not be seen or heard again. God's Word took on flesh and dwelt among us and lived among us, first within the body of a simple woman and then in the body of a simple man. And that Word was both accepted and rejected, but in rejection and then later in death, it could not be destroyed. Notice in the reading today, it said the light came into the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out, could not destroy it. Other translations say could not comprehend it or could not understand it. It's a difficult Greek word, but it means all of those things. This is the Christmas story. It is a story that continues today because the Word of God is an eternal Word. It is a lasting Word. It is an undefeatable Word. Jesus, the Word of God, is still among us. He is here as Spirit, teaching His followers, us, that which we need to know, and comforting us as His disciples with the comfort that we need, and leading us to the truth that we need to know as we journey forward and grow. And what is the truth that we need to know? The truth is the same as it was when Jesus walked among us. The truth of God that Jesus would have us know and to live out is the acts of love that He performed, we are to perform. The acts of mercy that He performed, we are to perform. It is the truth that they utter, the justice that we struggle for, and the forgiveness that we bestow. In these acts, God's Word is still made flesh today through you and me. Not perfectly, and not consistently, but still made flesh when we live out our faith, when we live inspired and urged on by the Spirit of God. God's Word takes on flesh when we bring food to the church to give out here on Thursdays, or when we deliver groceries to the food bank to be given out there during the week. God's Word becomes flesh through the actions of those like doctors and pharmacists who volunteer at United Ministries to treat those who don't have any regular physician, or through the ministry that's ongoing of the Faith Home to those ravaged by the effects of drugs and alcohol. And God's Word becomes flesh through you in Project Warm when you worked on homes last week, making repairs and homes and hearts a little bit warmer. The Word of God took on flesh in a unique and tremendous way through Jesus of Nazareth, and it takes on flesh today wherever the Word is believed and lived out. God's Word wears human flesh in those who obey the risen Lord and heed the living God and follow God's Holy Spirit. And as it was in Jesus, where the Word was found in a simple man and born to simple parents, so the Word today is found in flesh, in simple acts of love and kindness, when we listen to that still small voice that urges us to go and do, and we go and we do. The Word takes on flesh, and those who heal, and those who make peace, and those who forgive, and those who seek justice, and those who share, and those who show mercy. And so, Christianity is not a philosophy. It is an incarnational theology. God came here in flesh. God moved in here, and we saw Him. We beheld His face, and we beheld His glory, and we said, "Oh, that's how life is supposed to be. That's what God wants us to be. That is what God has wanted all along. And then God sent His Holy Spirit to empower us to live incarnational lives right in the middle of the messes we live in. The Word is supposed to become flesh all over the place through God's people, the church. I'm afraid I'm going to let you out early today. Is that okay? But I want to close with a very simple but profound poem by John Donne. He wrote concerning this very idea in the Gospel of John. He said, "'Twas much that man was made like God before, but that God should be like man, much more.'"